Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody. We were invited to talk here about the speculative fiction in Germany, so especially about authors and books that might deserve a bigger audience, that might have been overlooked or at least not as much appreciated on an international level as we would wish for. So up here on the panel, you can see Arno Behrendt, who is the chief gunslinger of the German convention scene, and also writes a lot of short stories that also should be appreciated, but are not our topic today. Then you have Bernhard Hennen, who is one of the most successful fantasy writers in Germany, selling 5 million books now,
yes, roundabout. About five million books.
And I'm Robert Corvus, so I write science fiction and fantasy, for example, for Perry Rhodan, like these ones here. So the Perry Rhodan publisher sent me some material, which is basically for you. So you can get all of this if you want, including nice pens and postcards. So these are brought to Italy for you, and you can get them afterwards. What we also have is some handouts so that you can follow what we are presenting here. Maybe Gabi, you can give this to the people, because we want to talk about some selected works from Germany, and you will find them on this handout, so you can look them up afterwards if you're interested and make notes if you like to. So the first one that we would like to present indeed is Perry Rhodan. So Perry Rhodan is a series, or a science fiction series, and maybe I should say it's the science fiction series. It's not only the science fiction series in Germany, but it's the science fiction series in the world. So actually, it's the longest, largest, continuous tale that has been told in human history up to now. So it started in 1961, and they issue weekly episodes, so like this. This is the core of the thing, so that's every week. It's not comic books, so people who are not familiar with this format might think they are comics, but it's not. It's written like newspapers. And even if you can't read German, I still have some here, so you can get them and I can sign them for you if you like, to just to have them, right? And Now we are at volume number 3129. So that's the current volume that is in the shops right now, and that's only the main series. So we have a spin-off with 850 until it was stopped. We have another spin-off running, which is at 260 volumes now. We have hardcovers, we have paperbacks, everything. We even have a movie that was shot in Italy. So in the 1960s, there was a Perry Rhodan movie. We are not so proud of it, but it exists, and it was shot in Italy. So this really is the largest tale, as I told you, continuous tale in human history since the invention of writing. And it's about the future history of humanity, and you will find everything that you love in far future science fiction. You will have aliens, you will have foreign stars, you will have time travel, but when we talk about time travel, we are talking about traveling 20 million years in the past, for example, right? So to a completely different era, not only for humankind, but for the universe. And you have higher beings, you have kind of superheroes like mutants in the series. So everything you can think about, you will find in terms of far future science fiction, like robots, artificial intelligence, I could go on and on and on, you would find in Perry Rhodan. So that makes up more than half of the science fiction market in Germany, actually. So this is the major player, I would say, and it's continuous since 1961. So, it's not available in Italian. I don't know why. So that's clearly overlooked. It's available in Japanese and Brazil, Brazilian Portuguese and some other languages, but not in Italy. So if you would like to fill the gap, you will have lots of material to translate, if you like, right? So that's for that then. We also have an interesting author, so I'm now moved to number two, who is Andreas Brandhorst. Andreas Brandhorst had three careers in science fiction. So the first career was several decades ago, when he was writing also novelettes, or as we call them, Heftromane. Not so much Perry Rhodan, not at all Perry Rhodan, but The Terra Nauten, which is another, it's kind of an eco-fiction, but it was written in the 80s and 90s. And it had 100 volumes, and then was, or 99 volumes to be precise, then was closed. And it's some kind of ecological fiction. So he wrote in that and some other science fiction as well. And then what might be interesting for our Italian friends, he moved to Italy. Out of love, of course. Everybody moves to Italy out of love. And he stayed in Italy for 30 years. And while he lived in Italy, he worked as a translator also for speculative fiction. So he was one of the main translators for the works of Terry Pratchett into German. And a couple of years ago, he moved back to Germany, and then he started another writing career. So now he's very much appreciated in the paperback market, so in the regular book market, if you like, for example, for Das Schiff, which would translate to The Ship, which is another far future science fiction, and is decorated with many awards that we would have there in Germany, so he's very well appreciated. And also recognized beyond the borders of the science fiction fandom. So Andreas Brandhorst would be invited by government agencies that run conferences, and he would be invited to talk about topics like artificial intelligence, because that's one of the topics that he did a lot of research for his novels and was very much recognized for it, and therefore was able to speak in a political forum, let's put it that way. So he's one of the few science fiction writers in Germany who has some influence into the general audience as well. Some of his works, I think two books, have been translated into Italian, But that were books from his first writing career, so that's many years ago. And I'm sure they're both out of print because the publishing house doesn't exist anymore. So still, there's a lot of stuff for you to discover, and in other languages, of course, as well. So we think that Andreas Brandhorst would be worth another look for translations and for receiving his work on an international level. And then we have Wolfgang Kohlbein.
Okay, now we switch from science fiction to fantasy. And Wolfgang Kohlbein is one of the old grandmasters of German fantasy. Maybe he is the most popular, for sure the most successful German fantasy author. He has sold worldwide more than 43 million books and is still writing. He has written in his career more than 200 books. But the trick with this is he very often is writing with colleagues. So I have written 3 books with him, and a lot of other authors have done as well, and many more than 3 books. But I know him personally very well, and always when I visit him, he's writing. So it doesn't depend on the daytime. If you visit him in 3 o'clock, he will write. If you visit him in 3 o'clock in the night, he's still writing. He's not a big friend of computers. He uses it, but very often he is writing by hand in small books, and then a secretary has to write it down in computer. So in this kind, he's a little bit old-fashioned, but he has a very broad, many aspects of writing, many different themes. But the key theme is fantasy, and one of the books of him I loved most is Hagen von Trondheim. When you're traveling around the world and speaking about German literature, there is one thing nearly everybody knows, even in Korea, where I was 2 years ago, they know the Nibelungenlied. So that's a grand, big old story about Siegfried, Hagen, the dragon, and all this fantasy stuff. And what Wolfgang tried to do was a little bit revolutionary, because when you think about German heroes, you always have the Siegfried picture. Big guy, blonde ears, hair, blue eyes, and...
No, not him.
And yes, he is the archetypical German hero. And what Wolfgang did in this book is switch the point of view. He made Hagen von Trondheim the hero and told the unknown story, and even risked to change the ending of the story. I don't want to spoil it, but it's a very controversial book. And for reasons, it's now more than 30 years old, still one of the best known books of Wolfgang Kohlbein. So if you are interested in the Nibelungen, in German fantastic literature, I recommend to try it.
I think he uses computers for gaming, doesn't he?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, gaming in the morning to get warm for writing. And this will take some time and some time, and then he's sitting there writing until 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I think this was the way. I have decided to mention Frank Schätzing and his novel Limit. And we found out today that it's translated in Italian, so it hasn't been overlooked. That's fine. Frank Schätzing is well known also for The Swarm. I don't think Limit is translated into English, but maybe it is, I don't know. I just said to myself, I'd like to mention it even though, because Richard Branson has flown into space 2 or 3 days ago, and he's in this novel under a different name. He's a main character of that novel, which is a near future space adventure based on the idea that the space elevator has come true. and that's quite fascinating. It enables people to travel to the moon, having a moon base, collecting helium-3 for solar fusion on Earth to make energy, and that's the reason why the oil industry is against it, and there are some machinations and intrigues, and sabotage is on the blink to come true with a nuclear device. So it's all in it. It's very suspenseful. And quite a fine book. The one which I always wanted to read, also from a German writer. Yeah, and that's about it. You can read it. That's the positive thing about it.
We had a great loss in the German science fiction scene. An author that was considered really a genius in Germany. So he also had big influence in the way that we perceive science fiction and write science fiction, but would have had even more profound influence if he would have been able to live longer. So he had a sickness in kinds of, let's say drug abuse, right? So he never had a chance to cope with that. His name was Thomas Ziegler. Thomas Ziegler had a profound influence, for example, on Andreas Brandhorst, whom I mentioned on position number 2. So he was kind of a mentor to Andreas Brandhorst as well. So Andreas Brandhorst wrote to him to discuss how novels could be structured, how plots could be developed, and so on. He also had a very intense influence on this Terra Nauten series, which I mentioned. So this ecological fiction basically was his brainchild, if you like. And he was in the discussion for Perry Rhodan as well, to be one of the outline authors of Perry Rhodan. And there's a funny as well as tragic story connected to that. So he managed to get a huge advance considering the environment in which he worked from these Perry Rhodan guys, and he used it to fly to Colombia and buy drugs. And it's kind of sick to do that. On the other hand, it's kind of funny as well in a way, in a twisted way. But it basically came, that was the reason why he was not able to become one of these outline authors. In the reviews of his work and life, he really stands out, even from the Perry Rhodan people, even though he then did not become the outline author, still he's celebrated as one of the geniuses in the series. So from his background, from his writing, from his style, there are a lot of short stories that he wrote, so shorter format, some novels, but also not these thick novels, so maybe easier to translate, I don't know. And he had a background in science fiction as well as in horror. So both of these mingle, for example, in his main work, Stimmen der Nacht, which I have recommended here on this list. It's the only story that won the most prestigious science fiction award in Germany, the Kurt Laßwitz Prize, twice. So first, it won this award as a short story, and then he extended it into a short novel, let's say. And 6 or 7 years later, it won again, as in the novel category then. So it's an alternate history. The point of splitting the timeline is the end of Second World War. So the US decided to place the nuclear bomb not in Japan, but above Berlin. And so Berlin is complete waste. And they also decided not to go for the Marshall Plan to rebuild Germany, but for the Morgenthau Plan. So to dismantle Germany, not to be an industrialized nation anymore, but an agrarian state, so that there can not be any war coming from Germany anymore. We go into this in the novel version, so not the short story, but the novel. We then have the year 1990, that's where the novel is set, and we hear the ghosts of these Nazi grands the voices of them in the Cologne Cathedral and in other places. And the especially eerie thing about this is these are original quotes. So every time they speak, these spirits of the Nazi grunts speak like Himmler, like Hitler, like Göring, and so on. These are actual quotes from these people. Put in the fictional context of this novel, which is kind of a ghost novel, but also a science fiction novel, you cannot clearly tell. And for all the other stuff, you have to read it yourself, because my colleagues get nervous because they want to introduce their novels as well. But Stimmen der Nacht, to me, that's it.
And that's an alternate history novel. I can remember that I was asked, why aren't there more alternate history novels from Germany? Because there are some history you can change to experiment with. And that has also been done by Oliver Henkel for his novel Kaisertag, Emperor's Day. That's the name of an official festivity in this world. And in this world, there was no World War II. In this world, there was no World War I. So we still have monarchy in Germany. We still have a Kaiser. And then in the 1980s, that's Wilhelm der Fünfte, William the Fifth. And, well, he's not much of an important character in the book. The German army in this world still has a cavalry, 1980s. They're riding on horses. And also the nuclear bomb has been developed in Germany at the same time. And there's an intrigue this time going on with regard to Denmark. Oliver Henkel is from Northern Germany, knows a little bit about Denmark and the Schleswig-Holstein history. And there are machinations underway to find a reason why Germany should have a war with Denmark, which a nuclear bomb would be used. And that has to be avoided, of course, by the heroes of the story. And so that's quite a good drama thriller story. And also you have this conflicting things which you can see in this alternate history context. That this is not the world of 19th century. There is a women's rights movement going on. You have crime, female crime fighters in local police forces. One is a hero. And at the same time, if you say something wrong about a person which is well known in a cafe, maybe an army officer will stand in front of you and asking you for a duel. That could happen in this world. So this is very interesting that these things are colliding. You have talk about movies which involve famous German actresses and actors of the 1980s and are about Frederick the Great and Prussia in 18th century, things like that. One must admit you have a little bit more out of this if you are German and know about things. Even Germans readers won't recognize everything. One of the heroes is the mayor of Lübeck, northern German city, and he's named Herbert Frahm. The real life Herbert Frahm was in anti-Nazi resistance in Norway, and he had a pseudonym to hide, and that was Willy Brandt. He was a German chancellor in West Germany after the war, very important one. And you don't know that from the book, you just read Herbert Frahm. You have to know this. If it is ever translated into Italian or English, maybe it would be good to have a dramatis personae, list of characters where you can explain things like these, so other readers will have more of this. But it's a fine story to read, and it got a national award also.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next guy we should talk about is the youngest one with the authors we still talked about. It's Tilo Corsilius. In his real life, he is an old Catholic priest, but in his heart, he is an author. He He's writing fantasy, science fiction, short stories, novels. And one of his latest books was Diebe der Nacht, Thieves of the Night. And maybe it's interesting for Italians, he developed a setting, a town called Mosmarano. Yes, it sounds a little bit Italy to Germans. It's a lagoon town, and it's very clearly inspired by Venice. And it's a late medieval Renaissance Venice. And his heroes are the members of artists group, a theater group wandering from town to town, and they have a second passion, they are thieves, but more in the higher level thieves. So they are not on the market on the way. What they try to do is fool with the easy highest classes of the towns and selling wrong paintings of famous painters and stuff like that. And so it's a very interesting story behind the theater group. And what's the most interesting thing, it's not a fantasy story about saving the world, fighting against demons or other big monsters. It's fresh new stuff. And if you are interested in fantasy, I really recommend it.
Then there is the classic of the classics. It shouldn't have been overlooked, really. The name of the novel is On Two Planets, Auf Zwei Planeten, by Kurt Laßwitz, and that has been published back in 1898, quite parallel to War of the Worlds. And it's a similar story about Earth and Mars. And the reason why it's on the list, it has been abridged many times. Yeah. And there is quite a problem with the English language translation of it, which has been based on a very much abridged version. So a lot of content is missing. The English translation is from 1971. I was able to read a new edited version of the novel a few years ago, which was done by Heine Verlag back then. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful, especially when you get it in full length. It's the kind of novel you want to read if you are one of these fans who have found out that Jules Verne and H.G. Wells were writing steampunk back in the 19th century. This is what you will feel when you read Kurt Laßwitz's On Two Planets today. It will have its fans, if they can read it in full length. And, things like the difference of Earth human beings and Martians is defined also by the futuristic cut of a raincoat. This is what you have in such a novel of that time. And I like it. It's fantastic, and I hope it will be available also in full length in Italian or English language.
It's, this novel also, or at least the author, is the patron of the most prestigious science fiction award in Germany, so the Kurt Laßwitz Prize. It's named for this Kurt Laßwitz, who wrote On Two Planets.
Given by professionals, so it's comparable to Nebula Award, you can say.
Right.
Yeah. And one of those guys who has won it again and again and again is Andreas Eschbach. very successful contemporary science fiction writer. And he has been translated into Italian and English as well. So this novel is on the list because it is recent. He has written it only a few time ago. That's NSR. You have to pronounce it like that in German. That's not a National Security Office. Of course, it is implied to be comparable to American NSA. And this is about the internet, smartphones, Facebook communication, something like this, being developed in the 1920s. So when the Nazis are there, they have all of this kind of communication. Andreas Eschbach was wondering about privacy, why we would talk in a tram on a smartphone to people and everybody can hear everything. Everybody of us today says, okay, Facebook can have all of my data. There will be no problem. And the idea is, what happens if Nazis are getting all the data? And this happens in this world, so they can perform cyber espionage on the United States when they were constructing the nuclear bomb. There is some very special way to cheat the work within IT. That's the assumption that hardware is something which is done by man, and software programming is something which is done only by women. People in this world believe this, even though this is stupid. But why you read this book, you can learn a lot about software editing, and it is fun, even though they do this to trace people, to find people, people who are in hiding, and this is the dangerous thing about it. You can read this.
I think there would be really an illustrative example if you tell people how they find them with these.
Well, this is lengthy maybe, but if you are hiding somebody in your house, they will consume goods, they will eat. And so if you are paying everything with credit card, you can find out by computer who is buying more food. So this is a way to trace people who are in hiding. And then the SS will be there to arrest them. That's happening in the novel. Anyway, you have to be prepared when you're reading it that it will all go wrong in the end. This is Nazis who are gaining power by IT. It must go wrong. Everything must go wrong. You have the characters you feel fond of. You identify with them, and it goes all wrong. You have to cope with this when you read this novel. And by that, that's the message. It must convey, of course, and it's tough and very interesting. I know Andreas Eschbach personally. The next author I know personally as well, because now we're entering the realm of doing commercials. Gabriele Behrendt has written this book. In English, it's Salt, Quest, and Lavender. You will have your minute. And the idea is very special. It's about multiple identity you can have by a means of technology. Any human being in this future society, which is in this novel, has an implant in the brain which make possible that you have multiple identities in your brain. And this is perfect because you have a set of different personalities who would cope with different tasks. So there's an identity of yourself which is the worker in the office, have an identity of yourself which is the good friend, an identity of yourself which is the perfect husband, identity of yourself who's spared especially for sex. All are listening now. Identity for yourself who will be the guardian who will scare away any criminal. And that's the way how you do things in this future society. The novel, of course, is also about whether this is a good idea or not. And quite inventive. The author is sitting there. Say hello. And have one copy here.
What we should mention for this book as well is that this has been on the shortlist for nearly every award.
Three national awards. It has been nominated for 3 national awards.
Right, and even on the shortlist for them, right?
Yeah,
it's
not only...
We are
very proud.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Commercial from my side. Is there anything you want to offer to the audience?
Well, now that you ask.
Okay, if you do so.
Yeah. Bernhard and me, we are writing a fantasy series, which is called the Filiason Saga. And the Filiason Saga consists out of 12 novels. That's the outline. And 9 of which have been published so far. 6
so
of which...
Tense is finished, but not published.
Tense is written, right? Mm. And one of us already nearly has written his part on the 11th one. I don't tell you which one it is. And out of these 9 published novels, 6 have been on the national best-selling list. So not the national fantasy best-selling list, but the overall national best-selling list.
In the top 20 of the list.
Right. And just to give you an idea, I brought you the covers of it. So the books are very thick, so they were too heavy to lift. But these are the covers of it. And if you think about Vikings here, you're correct. So the basic story is that there are 2 Viking captains, so fantasy version of Viking captains. And they have the opportunity, one of them has the opportunity to become king of the seas, which is an honor title. So it's not with power, it's with honor. And one of them is the greatest plunderer of his time, and the other the greatest explorer of his time. And to determine whom of them should be king of the seas, they have to travel around the known world and to solve 12 heroic quests. So 12 quests, 12 novels. Right, you get the idea. Mm. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 out of money for printing. Okay, so, but all of these novels have their distinct task because it's one of these quests, and we have a combining story arc about who will become king of the seas. It's very traditional, like Bernhard outlined this for a role-playing game, a campaign for a role-playing game in the 90s. So it's fantasy like it's done in the 90s. It's not fighting kingdoms like we do it normally today, but it's really an adventure story. It's a fun story. It's a story that should be translated. It's a story that you all should read. Even if you can't read it, you should still buy it and learn German then afterwards.
Yes, and it's a story. It's one of the very few fantasy role-playing games that's still in print with no break for 30 years. It's played for over 30 years. It has no breakdown. It's a big classic in Germany. So if you're in the role-playing scene, you will know it. And well, what he wasn't telling is we brought some new aspects of writing in, so it's not written like 30 years ago. Even we as two authors realized that we are getting more and more cautious when writing today, so it's not the same like 6 years ago, so we incorporate gender problematics. So to tell the truth, 6 years ago we didn't think so much about it. But today it's a theme. So just in this 6 years, the way of writing has changed. And so in some aspects, it's, yes, on the pulse of the time. And in other aspects, it's a more old-fashioned story.
Vintage. The term you're searching for is vintage. So think of it as gold-plated story, yeah, right? Okay. Are there any questions from the audience? So that's what we thought is, would be outstanding and what we would like to see have more attention. But maybe you want to know something completely different from us, so it's your chance to ask.
When I was staying in a hostel in Saronno on the way here, they had a library. And I was seeing Quality Land from Mark Uwe Kling in Italian. I think, oh, contemporary German science fiction being translated. That's one title you can go home.
You mention it. It comes back to me, one thing that I wanted to mention as well. So this novel, Quality Land, in Italian and as well as in other language, was subsidized by the Goethe Institute, the translation. The Goethe Institute is the German language institution, and they have a program and where they say if there is a publisher interested in translating directly from the German version, so not via the English version, but directly from German into the other language, then they have a program to give funds for that. So you can get some money from them, and they publish whom they supported. And this Quality Land, I now remember, was on that list of supported translations. So that might make it a bit more feasible or attractive to translate German works.
Oh, it's an interesting modern-day satire about today's capitalism, you can say.
So the oldest one was 1898.
That's On Two Planets,
right?
By Kurt Laßwitz.
And the most recent one could be Salzgras and Lavendel, right? So that was last year, right? So you get a complete overview of everything published in Germany in the last 125 years. So, right.
If you want to have a look on my writing style, there are several books of mine translated to Italian. It's done by Armenia in some years ago. And so if you look for my name, you will find some stuff in Italy. But you have a question.
I was wondering, how popular are these books? Because I live in Bozen, so we have some German shops.
So to give you an idea what this Perry Rhodan series, they have now their 60-year anniversary, and therefore they had some media coverage. And one of these media reports in a local television, they had a statement on the weekly distribution. So this is only the main series, right? So these things, when they get to the stores, they sell, not they send, they sell 60,000 every week, only in print. In addition, they usually are on the top of the science fiction ebook charts in Amazon, and they have audiobooks the same day. So that is immense. It differs when you go down. So Andreas Brandhorst also is on the best-selling lists. Our Filiason saga that we showed you also is on the best-selling lists. Frank Schätzing is on the best-selling list. Wolfgang Holbein is not, but has a lot of titles and a very strong readership that really looks out
and
for
him.
And
in the past, he was Ray Ofner on the best-selling list.
And Andreas Eschbach is even on the... He's moving... I'm not sure if it's fair to say he's moving out of science fiction, but he definitely is moving into the thriller genre. So he does several novels as well that at least don't have a strong science fiction background and can be well received by a general audience, and that gave him access to a really broad audience. So he's probably currently the most successful of the authors on this list. I think Gabriele Behrendt still is waiting for her breakthrough this year, right? So then there are also some of this list on this list who are not that commercially successful.
But I guess you will find my books in Boston. The last one going out 4 weeks ago was on the best-selling list. I have sold about 5 million copies worldwide. I'm translated in 10 languages, so I guess there is a chance to find me.
Another question, is Corvus a real surname?
I'm sorry?
Is Corvus your real surname?
Oh, it's my. It's an. Now it's a pen name, but it's on my passport now, so I can sign everything except for if you want to sell me your house. Then I have to sign with Bernd Robke, which you cannot spell, so therefore... No, it's not a real name. It's a pen name.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
What about the last bits? What are the other big prizes, the awards?
So we have Kurt Laßwitz Prize, it's only for science fiction, so it's not fantasy or horror, it's only science fiction, and it's for, it's the methodology is that you have creators of science fiction who are eligible to vote, right? So not everybody can vote. Then you have the Deutscher Science Fiction Preis, it's only science fiction as well. You have a jury for that who does an immense amount of work by reading tons of books and writing reviews for them and so on. So these are the two main for science fiction. Then you have some general for speculative fiction, it's the SERAF. They have a changing jury every year, and one member of the jury is a bookseller, one of them is an author, one of them is a blogger, and so on, so that they have some broad spectrum in there. So they, that can be science fiction, fantasy, or horror. So that's all of speculative fiction.
You have the fantastic prize of the city of Wetzlar.
Yeah.
With a jury as well. You have the Leserat prize. I do not know if it's still underway, but it was famous in past. As a brand new prize, Tilo Corsilio will win it in a few weeks with Diebe der Nacht. It's the Pentagon Dodecaedi, a prize of the city of Krefeld, and it's the best donated fantastic prize you can get at the moment in Germany.
There have been, if you look back in the past, the Deutscher Fantastic Prize, but it's not there anymore. They had many, many categories on short stories and blah, blah, blah.
RPC.
Yeah, and the role-playing convention also had an award, but that's also not current anymore. So if you would ask me what are the really important ones, the Kurt Laßwitz Prize will never die. It's continuous since 1981. The Deutscher Science Fiction Prize has some tradition. Then the Krefelder Prize is the most... brings the most money. It has to show in the future if it can be a steady thing. And I think that's...
The price of Wetzlar is on the heels more than 40 years.
Yeah.
So it's one of the big ones and one of the steady ones.
Okay, take all of the ones that we mentioned. Anything more you want to know? So we're very happy you attended, and because you attended, you get stickers from Perry Rhodan, you get outlines from Perry Rhodan, you get pens from Perry Rhodan, you get Perry Rhodan novels, which I can sign for you because I've written them, and postcards. So you can get all of that here. Thank you very much. Come to the front, get your prize.
Avete ascoltato Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache della galassia, da un'idea di Paolo Bianchi e Omar Serafidi, con il contributo cibernetico del Cylon Prof Massimo De Santo. Potete seguirci ed interagire con noi sul nostro sito fantascientificast.it, su Facebook alla pagina Fantascientificast, su Twitter sul profilo @fantascicast, sul nostro canale Telegram t.me/fantascientificast, sulla nostra community Telegram t.me/fsccommunity. Se siete particolarmente timidi, potete utilizzare la vecchia, cara e affidabile posta elettronica scrivendoci all'indirizzo redazione@fantascientificast.it. Tutte le puntate sono disponibili sul nostro sito, su Apple iTunes, su Spotify e su Podbean all'indirizzo podcast.fantascientificast.it. Se volete, potete lasciarci una valutazione a 5 stelle su Apple iTunes ed offrirci una birra romulana o un gotto esplosivo pangalattico, sostenendoci tramite una donazione PayPal utilizzando l'apposito pulsante sul nostro sito. Fantascientificast è una produzione amatoriale. Non si intende infrangere alcun copyright, i cui diritti appartengono ai rispettivi detentori. L'autorizzazione SIAE 5612I5359. Nessun byte e nessun tribolo sono stati maltrattati durante la produzione di questo podcast. Alexa 4 e l'equipaggio di Fantascientificast vi augurano lunga vita e prosperità e vi danno appuntamento alla prossima puntata lungo la rotta di Kessel.
Settimo simbolo inserito nel computer. Blocco 1 pronto. Blocco 1 posizionato.
Potenza erogata 23%. Così.
Blocco 2 è pronto.
Attivato.
Blocco 2 posizionato.
Siamo al 35%.
Arme rosse, evacuare l'area intorno allo Stargate.
Liberate l'area, torniamo da voi, chiudo le porta.
Andiamo, sbrigate.
C'era quello sotto la grande pietra?
Sì. Mio padre lo trovò nel 1928. È fatto di un minerale che non si trova sulla Terra.
Blocco 5 posizionato.
75%.
Blocco 6 pronto. Blocco 6 posizionato.
Non eravamo mai riusciti ad andare oltre nella sequenza.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.